The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Richardson, I'm your host. Joining me for this lovely Thursday podcast, the final podcast we do before the week of the 2024 NFL Draft, John Breach and Tyler Solomon. What's up, fellas?
What's going on? We're 1 week out of the NFL Draft. It's fast approaching.
Hey, Breach, do you think Wilson will still talk to us once the draft is over?
My theory is that no, really he will busy. Not.
Yeah.
He doesn't return my text messages anymore, so I don't think he's going to.
He doesn't. Does he really not return your text?
No, I'm just kidding.
Wilson. Do you text him?
No, once draft season's over, Wilson's going to be on the phone with us, calling us every day, because now he's going to have 3 months of free time where just, you know, there's no college to watch, there's no film to break down. So Wilson's going to be calling us from the beach in the Caribbean.
I mean, let's be real about it. This draft, his success as a draft analyst, and the fact that he, you know, is constantly on HQ and has his own podcast is really going to his head. But you know what? I like Sully better anyway.
Brinson is just jealous that Wilson has gone on to bigger and better things, and he is stuck with Sully and I here on this.
No, I'm not jealous at all. No, I'm thrilled. I love what we got going. I just think it's like Wilson is like too cool for school now because he's like he's like too busy like DMing with Rick Spielman. He started wearing like Viore pants. I was like, oh, I love those. I wear Viore's. He was like, no, you don't. He's like, Rick does. What are you talking about? Anyway, I'm just kidding. Viore pants do slap that. All right. We are going to take mailbag questions. True service journalism, Harry wrote the rundown. I love a mailbag. We used to get some really weird mailbag questions because we were like, if you get up to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, you're guaranteed to have your mailbag question read at some point. I mean, Breach, we got some bizarre ones, didn't we?
Well, the other thing was that a couple off seasons ago, we did a mailbag once a week, especially during the heart of the off season. So the listeners were trained to, all right, let's get our mailbag questions in. Let's make it. It just progressively got crazier as the off season went on.
So we'll do that. And then of course, Harry, capital J. Harry took his Northwestern J school degree and decided to do an AI mock draft. What could go wrong? Let's dive into it. Super Bowl picks and Jordan Love versus Mahomes. This is from at Christian Watson. Oh, wait, I forgot. Breach, should we dive into the
what?
Yeah, do it.
Into the what?
Mailbag.
Oh, mailbag.
Thank you. That was a bad one. Breach is Breach notoriously, for those that don't know. God, that was awkward. Breach notoriously does a great impersonation of the PTI mailbag fellow. I actually heard somebody on another podcast doing that recently. I don't know who it was. Anyway, we have a two-parter from Christian Watson on YouTube. And he wants to know, we'll start first, Who do they pick to win the Super Bowl this year? Now, is he saying who are we picking to win the Super Bowl this coming year? Or who did we pick to win the Super Bowl previously? Sully, I'm going to assume that your pick is based on the future, right?
Right. It's this upcoming season.
Because you had an all-bird Super Bowl last year.
I was sneaky close. I was sneaky close last year with Eagles-Ravens. Obviously, didn't.
But you know, I had Eagles-Ravens the year before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No. I didn't have Eagles-Ravens in 2022. I had it in 2022.
I had Eagles-Ravens in 2022, and the Eagles went to the And, like, this year the Eagles collapsed, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, like, you were sneaky close. It was looking really good.
Yeah, it was looking good there for a second. But I'm looking at the New York Jets. I think that we're kind of sleeping on them a little bit. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Ravens a year ago, where not a lot of people were talking about them as a potential Super Bowl candidate. I still think the Jets are that. We obviously have to see what Aaron Rodgers looks like post Achilles, but if he's remotely close to what Aaron Rodgers that we're accustomed to seeing, this team's loaded. They fixed the offensive line. They've made necessary additions at wide receiver. They've kind of plugged their holes. They have a ton of young talent. If they bring in somebody at number 10 that is worthwhile, in day one impact player, look out for them. And not only that, real quickly, you look at strength of schedule going up to next season. Sure, we don't have the exact schedule out on a week-to-week basis, but we do have the opponents. And I look at Sharp Football. They have the kind of strength of schedule out there. They have the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL this coming season in terms of their opponents. So don't sleep on them piling up some wins, possibly getting a top seed, and then maybe the road goes through MetLife, which is pretty remarkable.
I don't think it's, like, insane, and I do think that the Jets are a nice, like, post-hype, sort of post-hype sleeper, you know, when somebody that's, like the running back that everybody's touting, and then, you know, then they come out and, like, you know, everybody's like, all right, the Jets, we're not falling for this again.
And I'll say this real quickly. Yeah, I'm trying to be different other than the Chiefs. Like, the easy answer is the Chiefs.
Right. If you're picking – yeah, I mean, right. If you're, yeah, the Chiefs are basically – like, it's like picking the Patriots, you know. Like, you're going to get close. You're going to look like you're kind of smart, but you're predicting, like, the same thing happening. So I'm with you there. I do think the one thing that maybe concerns me with the Jets, I think, is going under the radar, and I agree. They've addressed the offensive line. They bring in Mike Williams. And you can nitpick, like, whether you think Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses – And Mike Williams will stay healthy, and that's certainly a concern. But I mean, like, the defense should be good. What about the coaching? Because, like, we don't have this. We have Nathaniel Hackett calling plays or being the offensive coordinator for a guy who won two MVPs. But then, you know, the Packers couldn't close with Rodgers in the playoffs. And, like, I don't know if I trust Robert Saleh in his what would be his first big playoff run, even with Aaron Rodgers there. So, like, I think that's at least a kind of a sneaky concern for the Jets.
My counter to that, and I agree with you, that is the variable, I would say, about, you know, is Saleh. We don't know what he's going to be in these high-pressure situations. But this defense has still been one of the tops in the NFL under his leadership. And so I'm not really worried about the defense when we're talking about the postseason. And yeah, I'm not really worried about the offense because, you know what, Robert Saleh is probably not going to be making those decisions. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers on the field. So it's similar to me, like what we saw in Tampa Bay with Brady. Like, was it Byron Leftwich or was it Tom Brady running the offense? It was Tom Brady running the offense. I think we're going to see more of Aaron Rodgers kind of handling those situations. So I don't know how much Saleh could get in the way of Rodgers in those scenarios, but you're right. That is the key variable as to whether or not they'll go as far as they could go.
Well, and Sully, I completely agree with you on the Jets defense. They're awesome, and they got even better. They added Hassan Reddick, Javon Kinlaw. But my hesitation with the Jets pick for winning the Super Bowl is that I feel like their offense is being held together by scotch tape. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback who's going to be 40 before the end of the season, who's coming off the Achilles, which you mentioned. But that's not just it. You have Mike Williams. Your number two receiver has not proven he can stay healthy. Tyron Smith has not proven he can stay healthy. That's your left tackle. And half your offensive line is guys that the Ravens didn't want anymore. They said, you know what? We would rather have no offensive line than have John Simpson and Morgan Moses. So to me, those are minor red flags. But again, you know, like you said, if Aaron Rodgers is playing like Aaron Rodgers of old, then he can overcome those problems and they may not be issues. But there's just a lot of questions on the offense for me.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I would also note that if you'd like the Jets to win the Super Bowl, presumably you think the Jets are going to be a very good team this year. +240 to win the division. Not a terrible number there. Breach, your pick to win the Super Bowl comes from the NFC side of things.
Yeah, I feel like I took the easy way out because I know that you guys just said picking the Chiefs would be lame. I didn't pick the Chiefs, but I did pick the other team in the Super Bowl, and that is the 49ers. It just seems like every time you think a team is going to have maybe a Super Bowl hangover or losing the NFC title game hangover, it doesn't happen with this team. They lost the NFC title game in 2021. They got back to the NFC title game in 2022. They lost again, got back to the NFC title game in 2023, finally got over the hump to the Super Bowl. And I just think this is – they don't really have any holes on their roster. And, you know, you look what they're going to do. If they have anything, you go in the draft, you fill it. And it just feels like they are hands down the best team in the NFC. I mean, there's a couple teams closer. The Lions are getting closer. The Rams should be better this year. But I just feel like, unlike the Chiefs, who have a lot of teams compete with the AFC, the 49ers feel like team 1A in the NFC.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, again, super talented, but clearly they were just in the Super Bowl, so that makes a lot of sense. Now, would it change your opinion if Brandon Ayuk is not on this team?
Do they draft a receiver to take his place? Sure. Or
let's say they drafted, what is it, 31.
So let's say they take one of 31. Or do they trade Ayuk and get another receiver in return?
I would say, let's just say they get rid of Ayuk and replace him with rookie X. First round rookie X.
I would be concerned, but I trust Kyle Shanahan to figure out how to. I trust Kyle Shanahan to make that offense work, even with a rookie receiver in there. And you still have Juwan Jennings, who came up with some huge catches in the playoffs last season, and obviously Deebo Samuel. So yeah, I think I would still take him even without Ayuk.
Cool.
All right. I'm gonna. I don't know if I want to stick with it. I mean, I'm going to, I guess.
Do it, Brenton.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams. I mean, whatever. What? It's the offseason. I'll stick with the Rams. I think you saw what Sean McVay did with that team last year. Now, the Aaron Donald thing really spooks me, obviously. Like, Aaron Donald retiring, that's a problem because he can just take over with, like, the offense, like, by himself, the entire defense. I still think the defense is going to be good. Losing Raheem Morris hurts. Losing Zach Robinson hurts. I mean, coaching some brain drain there, but they've been fine in terms of how they've handled that. McVay has certainly, you know, done a great job finding defensive coordinators. I mean, like, you know, he moved on from Wade Phillips, but Wade Phillips obviously older. But then, you know, Brandon Staley gets a head coaching job after 1 year as his DC. Raheem Morris, a couple years as DC, gets a head coaching job. Like, Sean McVay is really good at what he does. I also think when you look at what he'll get out of the offense, he gets a first round pick this year for the first time in his like career as a head coach, and so that should make an immediate impact. Puka Nacua takes a step, Cooper Kupp goes back. I'll take the Rams to win the Super Bowl just because it's freaking, like, you know, it's freaking April. Why not?
Yeah, I don't hate it. Again, still championship DNA with Stafford there, Cooper Kupp. Obviously, you lose Donald. That's not great. You'd love to have that type of player on your defense, but I'm with you. I think they'd probably address defense in the first round with that pick. And boy, if whoever that rookie is able to provide an impact on day one, there's still pieces there that make them attractive.
Yeah, and you look at what they've done with their defense. I mean, if you're going to lose Aaron Donald, you still have Kobe Turner, who just was so dominant last year, kind of surprisingly dominant. And if he does that in year two, they're going to be in good shape. And as you said, Sully, I do think they probably go defensive tackle, defensive line the first round. But with the Rams, what I like, obviously we know what they have on offense, but they completely redid their secondary. I mean, they brought back Darius Williams, added Cam Curl from the Commanders, and then the risky signing with Tre'Davious White. If he's healthy, I mean, he's a shutdown corner if he's healthy, and we don't know what he's going to look like. I think he's coming off the Achilles injury. So you don't know what – you don't know how guys are going to recover. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. So it is – but I love what they've done with their secondary.
All right. Even more insane is Christian Watson, the second part of his question. Christian Watson on YouTube. It's not actually Christian Watson, we don't think. But he wants to know, will Jordan Love replace Patrick Mahomes as the face of the NFL? Short answer, no. And, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to Jordan Love because I think he's a really good player.
Wait, is this the actual Christian Watson asking the question? Packers receiver, I mean,
he appears to have the handle Christian Watson, so it's possible that it is. And it seems fairly unlikely that it's the actual Christian Watson.
Imagine beating Christian Watson to the handle before Christian Watson could get it.
That would be kind of funny. You think YouTube would be like, no, sir, you need to be verified. Anywho, I think that the no, I mean, he's not going to take over. Mahomes is – I would say Mahomes is more likely to replace Tom Brady as the greatest of all time than Jordan Love is to replace Mahomes as the face of the NFL.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I mean, you have to, if you're Jordan Love and you I guess you ask the question, like, what could he do to be the face of the NFL? It's do exactly what Patrick Mahomes has been doing over the last few years. 5,000-yard season, multiple Super Bowls, an MVP. It's not something that can happen overnight. And at the same time, he has to mirror what Patrick Mahomes is doing. And also, Patrick Mahomes needs to fall off a cliff, which it doesn't feel like that's ever going to happen, or at least not happen anytime soon. So
right.
Both of those things happening, just it doesn't seem like that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's like it has to be a – correct. It has to be like a multi-pronged situation where – it doesn't make a lot of sense, right, Breach?
I mean, I think the only way you would even start to have this conversation is not even fall off a cliff. If they just miss the playoffs, I mean, they've been to the AFC title game every year that Patrick Mahomes has been a starter. So maybe if the Chiefs miss the playoffs two straight years and the Packers win the Super Bowl both of those years, then you could start to have that conversation. But I'm not sure anyone could overtake Patrick Mahomes as the face of the NFL right now in one season. I think the only person who would have a chance, and maybe this is crazy, would be Dak Prescott, because he plays for the Cowboys. If they won the Super Bowl this year, we would see Dak everywhere next year. He still probably wouldn't overtake him as the face of the NFL.
That's an interesting take.
We'd see a lot of Dak.
I think Jalen Hurts could maybe fall into that category too. You're talking about a guy that was in MVP conversations, already took a team to a Super Bowl. Philadelphia, you know, great city, great franchise in the Eagles. He feels like somebody is dynamic. You know, he can run. He's a runner too. So it's just he has that, you know, superstar top 10 type of plays that he can make on a week in and week out basis. Maybe, but still, you're talking about that happening and also Mahomes falling off a little bit. So that's a lot to ask for somebody to unseat him at this point.
And since you're throwing out Hurts, I better throw out Joe Burrow or Bengals fans will hate me. Look, he has a winning record against Mahomes. He just needs a Super Bowl ring. And if he could get two Super Bowl rings, that might be too much to ask for a team that doesn't have any. But, you know, it certainly helps that he does have the winning record against Mahomes.
I just think there's also a factor here that we're not considering when we talk about the face of the NFL. And it's that Patrick Mahomes gets the trickle-down effect from Travis, his tight end, the best player, the second best player on his team, dating the most famous person on planet Earth, Taylor Swift. And so, like, Mahomes is more Mahomes is the face of the NFL. And the NFL wants him to be the face of the NFL. There's a reason why his brother, who was always up to no good, hadn't been seen in 2 years. Like, he's in WITSEC somewhere, but like at the expense of the NFL. Because they're like, get this clown out of here. Get your wife to stop spraying fans with champagne. Act like let's, you know, like, yeah, there's a reason why Giselle stopped yelling at Wes Welker, right? Like, the NFL has its way. No real chance. But look, Jordan Love can certainly become one of those quarterbacks. He can certainly become a superstar quarterback, but a superstar quarterback is different than the guy who's just ripping off Super Bowls. He has three Super Bowls, right? He's like 6 years into his career. It's crazy. I forgot Harry's name. Harry struck this one out. I'm going to read it off really quickly and go through it, but it's Jordan McCaleb asks, FanDuel is Andy Reid with the worst odds of any coach in the league to win coach of the year at 60-1. What am I missing here? Equally perplexed that Jim Harbaugh is the odds-on favorite along with Raheem Morris, closely followed by Jonathan Gannon. Here's the formula, and I'm just going to explain it very quickly. We're going to break. But the formula for Coach of the Year is essentially who outperforms their win total, their preseason win total, the most. That's what the NFL Coach of the Year basically boils down to. And Andy Reid is going to have an over-under of either 11.5 or 12.5, probably 11.5, which means he's got to win. He's basically got to go 16-0. He has Patrick Mahomes. He has Travis Kelce. He could do the best coaching job ever. He's probably not going to win it. Sully, I'm assuming that you were going to now reference Bill Belichick and his lack of Coach of the Years. And before you do, I would also point out Coach K with Duke has won like one National Coach of the Year title. Like, if you are the best, you just don't get this award.
Right. It's a different bar for every coach. And you were referencing a lot of stuff there, Brinson, but the thing you left out was this award typically goes to first-year head coaches. Like, yes. More often than not, it's the new hiring cycle, whatever kind of rookie head coach comes in, whatever they – like DeMeco Ryans last year. If he outperforms, okay, you're going to be in that conversation. That is more often than not going to be the way that these things kind of go out. And what you're saying is right. With Andy Reid, the bar is very similar to Bill Belichick. If all of a sudden they go undefeated and they decide, you know what, that we're just going to rip the NFL a new one, we're going to go and not lose a single game, then fine. that's what will put him in that conversation. Or if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt and they still somehow make the playoffs, that's probably the route where Andy Reid wins this award. But other than that, it's so tough because the bar set so high in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I would just note that a lot of times you'll see the Coach of the Year closely associated with the MVP in certain instances. 2019, John Harbaugh wins it when Lamar Jackson shocks everybody with that incredible season. 2015, Ron Rivera won it for the second time in 3 years when Cam Newton and they went 15-1. Jason Garrett won in 2016. Cowboys had a rookie quarterback in Dak Prescott. They won. Sean McVay, 2017, right? And then you have Stefanski last year who wins it for the second year in a row, won it first during his first year, but had five quarterbacks. So it's like
right. That's the degree of – right?
Yeah. They want the degree of difficulty. Exactly. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, more mailbag.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dom the Blind. We love Dom the Blind at EnvisionFF on Twitter. A friend of the podcast. He's been on the podcast, actually. Asked, what coaches most enter the season on the biggest hot seat? Sully and Breach, you guys actually agree completely here. And I mean, it's pretty hard to disagree because it's the Cowboys head coach, Mike McCarthy, right, Breach?
Yes, but I'll let Sully explain because I have a backup ready.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like he should have been fired last year.
Contract year.
He's in a lame duck contract year. Probably should have been fired. What was it? 12-4 seasons the last few years, or 12-5 seasons, excuse me, over the last 3 years, all culminates in early playoff exits. He's totally underperformed with the roster that he's had. There's been a lot of questions pretty much over the last few offseasons whether or not he's going to keep his job. And now there's a dude named Bill Belichick waiting on the sidelines to get one of these jobs. And reports are that he is looking at the Cowboys as a possible destination. If they fall short of expectations again, Jerry Jones is going to go all in and bring in Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And I'm curious, Sully, what you thought of – I'm sure you read it, Seth Wickersham's. Yep. By the way, do you know how many freaking Bill Belichick stories? I saw four of them come through the NFL thread on my phone at various points today. You could tell which one was Breach because it's like Bill Belichick reveals which the only first rounder ever to be like, who was, what was the answer, Breach? Who was
that? That was Jordan DeJohnny, A, and the answer was Lawrence Taylor.
Ah, that tracks. And Lawrence Taylor. I mean, Lawrence Taylor, did he win MVP?
But Jordan's basically my neighbor, so he's learning from the best.
Love Jordan. Jordan's parents are my neighbor. Did you know that?
What?
They live in Cary. I'm curious what you thought, Sully, about that whole thing because it does feel like so. I mean, it feels like all the conspiracy theory stuff from Boston Patriots fans, Boston sports fans, were like, Bob Kraft is just trying to sabotage Bill Belichick. It feels like that might be right.
Yeah, you know, this is right now it is a nice little competition between John Henry, owner of the Red Sox, and Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, which is wild to think that. But he is being spoken of, Robert Kraft is now,
poorly,
in a pretty disdainful way, because not only is this story coming to light, but it's coming off the heels of that docuseries, The Dynasty, which just felt like a total hit job.
I mean, Bill Belichick did murder those people for Aaron Hernandez.
I mean, right?
I mean, like, that's what I learned on the documentary. And that was a really well done documentary. Like, it was entertaining, but it's also like, it was like the idea that they would try and suggest that it wasn't demeaning of Bill Belichick is insane. Like, it was burying Belichick.
Absolutely crazy. And the Krafts have tried to separate themselves from it. But when you watch it at the bottom, it's like Kraft Dynasty LLC. It's like, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you, but clearly you had something to do with it. And so when you have that, when you have, you know, him talking to Arthur Blank and, you know, reportedly being like, you know what, probably in certain terms, probably wouldn't hire this guy. Yeah, it's pretty tough pill to swallow.
I think it's interesting, Breach, with the Falcon stuff from that Seth Wickersham article. It was acknowledged that, you know, and Arthur Blank and Bob Kraft are unquestionably very close. Like,
according to the report.
They're very good friends, as close as you get, like, in terms of NFL owners, like in that little club. I do sort of wonder, if you're Bob Kraft, and I think it's probably really difficult having this whole thing come to an end. I think, you know, he said at the end of the Dynasty, at the end of the show, he's like, he blames Belichick for running Brady off. And I think he believes if he'd sided with Tom and fired Belichick like at the height of the run, or like after 2019, that he would have won another Super Bowl with whoever was the coach with Tom. Like, I think he believes that, and I think it eats him alive that Tom Brady won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers, and he's still trying to deal with that, and this is sort of how it's like emoting out. It's not going well for him, but I also think he really doesn't want Bill Belichick going somewhere else and winning too. Because then you become like Jerry Jones and like Jimmy Johnson and Tony Romo, where it's like, you didn't do anything here. Okay. Like these guys did it all. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, that's real quickly that to me is, I think, the crux of this whole story. It just feels like when we're hearing about him kind of pushing Blank in the direction of not hiring Belichick, I think it's almost to cover that exact scenario where all of a sudden, Bill Belichick doesn't have to win a Super Bowl, but if he goes to an NFC title game or wins a few playoff games and starts to really get Atlanta rolling, Robert Kraft's going to be sitting there not having anybody else to blame. And that's a tough pill for him to swallow.
Well, but then you also have Arthur Blank, who could end up looking foolish. I think one of the most surprising things here is that you had the Falcons brass, Blank, Rich McKay, and general manager –
Richard.
All making a list of the top three candidates in Atlanta, and Belichick didn't make a single person's list. Like, that's such a – I don't even know where – a six-time Super Bowl winner no one felt was qualified enough to be the head coach of your franchise that blew a 25-point lead to that guy and has also never won a Super Bowl. That is just absolutely mind-blowing. It seems like Blank was kind of interested after the yacht interview in the Caribbean – and then got home and his front office kind of talked him out of it, and Robert Kraft talked him out of it, and then all of a sudden he is just jumping ship on Belichick. So I the way everything is played out, I hope Belichick ends up in Dallas or Philadelphia or the Giants, or the three teams that were mentioned in that story, and wins the Super Bowl. Because I wasn't rooting for Belichick, but now I want him to get the last laugh with the way everything's gone with the documentary you guys mentioned.
That's what it is, Breach. Is it's so crazy that at the end of the season, I think it was relatively universal around New England saying, all right, this has probably run its course. And in a matter of months, it was all anti-Belichick, and now it's totally flipped to pro-Belichick.
Absolutely backfired on Bob Kraft. Like, to the point where, I think, to add on to that point, I think that after this draft season, we're talking about how all these stories are coming up. Belichick's talking. Dude, Belichick is charismatic as hell when he's relaxed. He is going to be awesome on the draft coverage with Pat McAfee. Like, McAfee got him loose. He's talking it up. He's going to be dropping nuggets. Like, you heard the Matt Rhule thing from the other day where he's like, this guy talked for 2.5 hours. And like, we were freaking out at how good it was. He's going to be great in the media stuff. And so it's only going to serve to spin it more. Where it's like, all right, like, and that's the thing, is like the Krafts didn't have to do anything. Just like sit back and be like, oh, look, this, you know, everyone's like, damn, all right, Bill lost his fastball in New England. And like, that's fine. And he could have worked his way back up, but it's like, you don't have to be doing this petty stuff. It's just, it's not necessary. It makes you look bad. Anyway, Breach, who is your coach who's on the hot seat?
I forgot that that Mike McCarthy conversation led to Belichick.
I was going to say just one more thing, too, on the Belichick stuff. I think that Belichick is going to linger over a lot of coaching jobs, because if he has any remote interest in that job, he won't be too aggressive, but he's going to make sure people know. And Harry, say we should move on. Probably should, but Robert Saleh, I think too, your guy, Breach, definitely on the hot seat.
Yep. Look, Saleh's out here putting all the pressure on him. The Jets are Saleh's Super Bowl pick. And so there's no more excuses this year for Saleh. Rodgers is going to be healthy. You have the defense that you built. That defense has been there. The defense has looked good. So this finally becomes that pressure season, the put up or shut up season. And I think we'll find out, whether Saleh is a great NFL coach or someone the Jets have to think, maybe he's worn out his welcome. So I think they have to at least get to the playoffs, or I'd be worried if I was Saleh. You can't go out and win five or six games.
I think that's right, too. And Aaron Rodgers not afraid to play the blame game. If this team misses the playoffs and Rodgers is completely healthy, there'll be things tweeted or said or leaked out, and that's just how it is. I would throw, for the Belichick purposes, just real quickly, I think you could throw Brian Daboll in there too, because if Belichick wanted to come back to the Giants, if he was interested in the Giants, it was reported in that story that he wants to be in the Northeast. I don't think Brian Daboll should be on the hot seat. I think he should get a chance to have his own quarterback. We'll see if he drafts one. But just if Belichick has a great season where he's, entertaining and, if he's on TV a bunch, people are going to be like, we got to get this guy. And if he's interested, I think there's a chance.
We'll make it three teams in the NFCs, because Philadelphia would fall into that category as well. Nick Sirianni, who kind of felt like he was on the lukewarm seat towards the end of the year, maybe even a little bit hotter than that. If all of a sudden they continue their downward trajectory from a year ago, that's another team, Northeast, good roster, relationship with the front office. That could make a lot of sense.
And how high pressure are NFL coaching jobs now that we're talking about Nick Sirianni, who won 11 games last year and 14 games the year before, could be fired. That Mike McCarthy has won 12 games in three straight seasons, could be out after the season. It is cutthroat. I mean, it is crazy that coaches are having – this much success and still have to worry about their jobs.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. Dom's got one more on the Pats too. Does Sully think the Patriots should trade down from 3 to get more draft picks, as they're further than just a quarterback away?
I do not. I've talked. I think you were away when we were talking about this a little bit, Brinson. But
I think I heard you mention it. You said you thought it was too greedy.
It's kind of a nuanced answer, but just plain and simple. No, I would like them to take a quarterback at number 3. Take the at-bat. Try to swing for the fences for a franchise quarterback at number 3. I've spent like 15 years watching this team think they're smarter than everybody else at the NFL draft and strike out every single time. If you're telling me that they're going to now try to move down, just use Minnesota as the example, move down to 11 and 23 in a future first and land Michael Penix and get your tackle and get your wide receiver all in this one fell swoop, I just don't believe you. I don't think you'll be able to do it. So you know what? I'd rather you take the higher ceiling player in Drake May at number 3, if we assume Jaden Daniels is at number 2. I'd rather you take that at bat than try to thread this needle that you've never been able to do over the last few years. Because as much as Belichick's gone, a lot of those same decision makers that were helping make those picks over the last few years are still in that building. So I wouldn't. Now, I say that real quickly. I don't know. If you throw me like Justin Jefferson and you start to really have this like godfather offer from Minnesota, it's going to be hard for me to say no. But if we're talking about a logical run-of-the-mill trade-up type of situation with no one's getting super silly, just take the quarterback. Just try to see if Drake May's the guy.
If I got 2 future firsts from basically any team, especially a team that was coming up to get a quarterback, knowing that the bust rate is so high for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, the Jags missed the playoff, they had the first pick under his rookie year, right? So, like, if you give me 2 future first, I'm probably doing it. Obviously, you have to pick swap this year. So, 3 total first for the number 3 overall pick, I'm probably doing it. But I think anything less than that, if the Vikings give you 2 this year and then 1 their first next year to come up with 3, I'd probably think about it, but that's, I think that's, I don't think that's enough to go from 3 to 11, given like the strength of this draft class.
Yeah. I just can't handle if all of a sudden Drake May's like, you know, CJ Stroud. And I'd just be like, okay, well, you know what? This team's just forever cursed at the NFL draft.
All right. Speaking of, oh yeah, just saw you there. And just Breach here. Speaking of trades and our favorite teams, friend of the pod and in literally irrationally insane Bengals fan, Colin Bear, asked Breach, if the Bengals were to trade T. Higgins next week, what type of compensation would you expect?
I think I've said this from day one, or at least when his trade request came out last month. I do not think the Bengals would pick up the phone unless somebody was offering a first-round pick. I think that's it. They're not, because if you trade T. Higgins away for whatever, you now have a gaping hole at wide receiver. You already need receivers, and if you also now don't have T. Higgins, you have Ja'Marr Chase and really nothing else behind him in the two spot and the three spot, and that is not something the Bengals want to worry about in April. So I think unless you had a team like, say, the Saints, I don't know, they have the 14th overall pick, they could use a receiver. If they called up and said, we'll give you the 14th overall pick for T. Higgins, I think the Bengals would do that. But I don't think they're going to be answering many calls unless somebody blows them away with an offer like that.
All right. I dig it. I need to stop looking at this golf leaderboard. Jags, here's a trade from no-name guy at Bull Bleep Account 77 ask, what scenarios would you consider as reasonable for the Jaguars to move up for one of the top three wide receivers? How far would one of them need to fall for you to give the trade up an A-plus grade? Sully, what do you think?
I think if they go to number 10, like if Adunze is still on the board, like, okay, that to me would make some sense to move up and possibly take him there. Now, I'd have some questions if the Jets wouldn't just select him, or Brock Bowers or something, you know, a pass catcher like that. But I think you move up, what do they have, 17 again, I believe? You move up, you know, seven spots, you go up to number 10, you get yourself another bona fide wide receiver to pair with Lawrence, Gabe Davis, and all those guys, then sure. Okay, that to me would be a very good haul.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think the Bears could also be a good trade partner at number 9, but it's not easy to get up from 17 to 9. We've talked about the trade charts and the point system that people use to kind of look to see what they would need to give up. I mean, Jackson would probably at the minimum have to give up their second round pick, which is 48th overall, and then maybe even tack some, and obviously their first round pick also, and then maybe tack a little something on top of that to get into the top 10. But, you know, if you're desperate for a wide receiver and you feel like, hey, look, this guy's going to be a game changer and Trevor Lawrence, we need to get him a weapon, then it's not crazy. So I think they would have to give up 17 and probably 48 to get up there.
Yeah. So the thing is, if you go to how many spots did the Falcons jump when they got Julio Jones?
I think they moved up to 4. That was a lot, right?
They moved up from like 22 to 4. Gave it like 3 first, I think. Yeah, I'm not suggesting the Jaguars do that. I mean, but like, I just think that's an interesting one, because even at the time, you know, we were like, all right, like, you got to look at this a couple different ways. This is not for a quarterback. Julio Jones is that good. He is that good. Like, he is that good a player. He had that good a career where you can justify, like, we were right about the player. The issue here is that the Browns did such a poor job using the picks that it's easy to be like, the Falcons won that deal. And I think, you know,
the Falcons jumped from number 27 overall to 6th overall.
So, yeah, 'cause AJ Green went 4th, and then
that is insane.
Yeah. You know, like, who is it? Baldwin and who are the two receivers down at the end of that draft? They ended up going, like, they were bad. The 49ers took one, the Chiefs took one. Jonathan Baldwin and
the
Niners taking the draft. It was just terrible. Receiver. Anyway, point being is, like, I think you got to go to, like, you got to get ahead of the Bears at 9, probably. I don't see the Jets or the Bears. I know those are the teams you're mentioning. I just don't see them trading out if Neighbors, Odunze, or Marvin Harrison, who won't really like a fall, but like, if any one of those three lands is there at 9 or 10, I don't really see them trading out. I see them sitting there and taking those guys. They need wide receivers to help, you know, a young quarterback or help an old quarterback. I think both the Bears and the Jets are possibilities for you know, for getting offensive linemen as well. But if one of those receivers is there, and man, these guys are blue chip wide receivers. So I think you got to get up to at least 8. And I don't think it's crazy to suggest Atlanta, who most people have taken Dallas Turner there at 8. We actually saw Jonathan Jones had them taking
Michael Penix
out of Washington, which is would be wild after paying Kirk Cousins that money. I'm not saying it won't happen, just would be wild. I think the Falcons and the Jaguars would make an interesting trade partner because you're looking at a team where it's like, all right, give us a second round pick. And maybe you move from 8 to 17 or like 2 seconds or a second and third or something like that. I think Atlanta would be willing to do that to try and take some shots at defensive players in this draft. So I'll say the Falcons at 8 make a lot of sense there.
I will say, though, real quick, the one thing that could hurt Jacksonville is that you have teams ahead of them, the Saints at 14, the Colts at 15, who could be interested in taking a receiver. And so if those teams start thinking about trading up, they're closer. Might be easier for them to get a deal done. So that is the – and obviously that's not ideal for Jacksonville when the teams above you might be eyeing that third receiver the same way you are.
Or just the Jets in Chicago. Like if yeah, that picks I, up yeah, the sale, do you go up?
I do think the Jets in Chicago could – you know, they might not go receiver. We've talked about maybe tight end. The Bears could go with a pass rusher. They might think, you know what, we have Keenan Allen. We have DJ Moore. We can hold off till the second round to get a receiver. So I do think – it's not definite that each of those teams will take a receiver, but like you said, both absolutely could use one, so it wouldn't be surprising.
Agreed completely. All right. Next question in the mailbag comes from at Bo Jackson, B-E-A-U Jackson, 7699, on YouTube. And he says, now, obviously, you should subscribe and listen to With the First Pick with our buddy Ryan Wilson and the great Rick Spielman. They do an awesome job. I think it like universally regarded as like one of the best draft podcasts like out there. Draft podcast, a little more niche in general NFL, but they do a great job with it. And you should subscribe and listen to it. They go deep into a ton of prospects, different positions, all of that. And obviously they'll have recaps and stuff like that. So we will let you know what the plan is. However, this person wants to know where Brendan Rice will go, a legacy wide receiver with a legendary NFL dad, not Marvin Harrison Jr. Brendan Rice. Where do you think Brendan Rice will go, Breach?
Well, because I hate myself, and because his dad won Super Bowl MVP against the Bengals in Super Bowl 23, I'll say he ends up with one of those two teams. The Bengals could absolutely use a receiver if they, you know, they might go offensive line in the first round. They might go defensive tackle. So they might not take a receiver till later. And I think Brendan Rice's third, fourth round projection early, maybe they have 2 third round picks. So they have the ammo to grab someone like him. And I actually think he'd be a good fit in their offense. And I think it would be wild to see Jerry Rice attending Bengals games.
That would be wild.
All the time, considering what he did to them in Super Bowl 23. Just heartbreaking for me to think about. And then I put the 49ers down, too, because I think that would be fun. I feel like they do that. You know, they already have Christian McCaffrey, who's the son of a former NFL player. They love getting those guys because it's easy for them to learn the playbooks. They're already football knowledgeable. They grew up around the sport. So I'll say 49ers or Bengals.
Sully?
I'm going to go with the Commanders, and it's pretty simple. Cliff Kingsbury, former head coach. There's an offensive coordinator now with the Commanders. Familiarity. I think that would make a lot of sense.
I will say the Seahawks, because that's the final team that Jerry Rice played for in his career. And I think that would be kind of interesting. Okay. When we come back, what's better than a mock draft from Pete Prisco? That's right. A mock draft from an artificial intelligence robot. We will break it down next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Shout out to producer Harry. He is endlessly creative, and he wasn't going to sit there and make us, you know, look, everybody's got a freaking mock draft. Kiper, McShay, Schrager, Brugler, Prisco, Spielman, Wilson, Sullivan. Sully, you have mock drafts?
It's coming out on Saturday.
Saturday? Is that your only one, or have you been doing them?
Only one. I've done a few Patriot-specific ones, but yeah.
Ah, yes. Man, the content machine rolls on unabated, doesn't it? Like, give us a – we need a Jaguars perfect draft. It's like, ah, do we?
Apparently we do.
No. I think we do. I think it's a good idea. We have a ton of great NFL writers on staff. The aforementioned Jordan.
I'll tell you this though, they crush too. Like people love a mock draft. They may say they don't like it, but boy, do they click on it.
Right. Mock drafts are like the new power rankings. I guess power rankings do numbers still kind of because people are like, how dare you rank Chiefs 3? It's ridiculous. It's like, it's in the poll. It's like the college poll. Those numbers. But yeah, mock drafts do numbers. By the way, coming out Tuesday, my worst mock draft ever. Very excited. What would be the worst possible thing for the Patriots to do?
Realistically, if you're telling me I don't want JJ McCarthy. Quarterback. Like, if you stay pat and draft, like, Joe Alt, okay, great. I like the need, but, boy, trade down. If you're going to take a tackle, I said don't trade down. But if you're taking a tackle, trade the F down.
I got to figure out what I'm going to do with the Bears because, you have to piss off every fan base. And, like, Caleb Williams is such a lock now that's, the Bears taking Marvin Harrison Jr. one would be – would that be enough to make Bears fans mad? Like, not even trade out with the Patriots, and the Patriots trade up to take Joe Alt one?
You know what? There you go. There's your
Brock Bowers. They already have Cole Kmet. Have him not take a quarterback. That's you got to do.
You think very highly of Cole Kmet. Anyway, we got lots of perspective from Breach as a mock draft. I've got a bunch of mock drafts. So producer Harry fired up the old ChatGPT, gave it the first round order, the draft order, the top 50 prospects, and then gave us a definitive first round mock draft done by the always infallible artificial intelligence. Let's dive in and see if this bad boy will take our jobs. ChatGPT had the Bears taking Caleb Williams one. So good job. That's a win for the AI.
So far, however, so good.
Marvin Harrison went second to the Washington Commanders. Can you imagine? Like that's the pick I'm going to make for the worst mock ever for the Commanders is Marvin Harrison Jr.
I mean, take this as your story.
Kinda, yeah. Good God, people would melt down. So it didn't have Drake May going until 5 to the Chargers with Justin Herbert. What the hell? Like, what is the worst? What is the most like aggressively bizarre pick you see on this entire list?
I'll tell you this. It's the pick that wasn't made in this draft. You know who's not selected in this first round? Is Jaden Daniels, who's going to be the number 2 overall pick.
I still think May is going to be the number 2 overall pick, but that's just me.
I think the market.
Yeah, the market's reacted to this. Like, I don't freak out too much about that. But I know what you're saying. Breach, what's your most egregious pick that you see right here?
Well, let me just say that I love the Bengals pick at 18th overall of J.C. Latham. However, I do not love that our old ChatGPT here also has the Steelers taking J.C. Latham, except that 20th overall. So J.C. Latham is getting drafted twice. I kind of like that. I think that would be fun if it actually happened. If the Steelers just said, you know what, screw that. We also want him. Let's see where he gets on a flight to. Let's see which team he likes better. If you just gave players that option. So, yes, I don't think we have to worry about intelligent AI taking our job just yet, considering there is no Jaden Daniels and J.C. Latham was drafted twice.
Indeed. The one thing I would note here, too, I think it's kind of interesting to talk about, like, the Falcons taking a wide receiver would be pretty wild. They've got – although not as wild as them taking – Michael Penix Jr. at 8. Sorry, JJ. But like Roma Dunze, I mean, you have Drake London, you have Kyle Pitts, you just traded for Rondale Moore and you signed Darnell Mooney to a big contract. Having said all that, like if you're in the business of take the best players, and you should be, Roma Dunze at 8 would be pretty wild. Like Kirk, that offense could be unstoppable if Kirk Cousins is healthy.
Yeah, but also you do need pass rushing help. Like, I mean, that's a pretty glaring need. Yeah, fine. If we want to just play fantasy football, then sure, let's just throw everybody on there. But I think that what they did was they addressed offense in free agency, and now you're going to see drafts and high capital picks go defense.
We've been talking about this for 4 minutes, and Brinson's already been brainwashed by the AI. He's out here justifying their 8th overall pick.
I think you can make a case, too, that, like, I don't care how good Jared Verse is. If you take him 6 and pass on Jaden Daniels in like a Brian Daboll offense and those wide receivers with what you have on the roster, you're probably getting fired. Like you 100%. Just traded for Brian Burns. You got Kayvon Thibodeau. You have the interior guys like Dexter Lawrence. Like if you draft Jared Verse at 6 overall, so some mistakes have been made.
I'll tell you this too, you know, just looking down the back end of the draft, the spiciest one to me would be J.J. McCarthy going to the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah.
Because the Tua, the Tuanon and all of that would be going absolutely crazy. Bananas. If all of a sudden there's another quarterback that just won a national title in college at Michigan is now coming to town in the first round, they would go ballistic.
Okay, now having said that, I agree with you. Having said that, could you make the case? Because we used to make this case with the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. It's like just draft a quarterback every 3 years. I think Wilson used to make that case. I can't even imagine what Harry's face is doing right now, but I'm assuming it's not like making a happy look. I'm just saying, like, if you think that this system, this Mike McDaniel system, is what makes it go, and you believe J.J. McCarthy could be a good point guard in that system, and you've already dealt with cap issues this offseason that have led you to lose various people, you can make the case, draft J.J. McCarthy if he's there at 21 and just let Tua play out the string and then move on.
It's possible.
I think the thing with the Dolphins, I feel like Mike McDaniel to me is like Sean McVay, where he is content with the quarterback he has. But if he sees a spot where he can upgrade and he knows he can upgrade, he will pull the trigger. I mean, that's what we saw with Jared Goff. Jared Goff got the extension in L.A., and then as soon as they're like, oh, Matthew Stafford might be available, boom, let's get him here. So if there were to be a quarterback available that would be an obvious upgrade over Tua, I could see McDaniel thinking about it. And the other quarterback one here, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan.
Bo Nix to the Niners.
What do you think the reaction would be if the 49ers use a first-round pick on a quarterback?
People would be up in arms, and understandably so. Right? I mean, like, If you draft Bo Nix in the first round with, you know, you're having like all these issues with the wide receivers, you got to extend, like Brandon Ayuk might want to trade. There's rumors about that. You know, you have Brock Purdy who just led you to a Super Bowl. Bo Nix is older than Brock Purdy, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm not even kidding.
And he'd probably make more than him in year one than Purdy's made his entire career at this point just by being a first round pick.
Absolutely. So Brock Purdy is 24. Bo Nix is 24. Brock Purdy was born in 99. Bo Nix was born in February 2000. So Brock Purdy was born on December 27, 99. Purdy is February 25th, 2000. So or Nix was. So yeah, they're like basically 2 months apart. It would be insane to draft Bo Nix when you already have Brock Purdy, I personally believe. Okay. Anything else stand out to you from this? I think there's some like, Ennis Rakestraw, 24th overall to the Cowboys. Braylon Trice, 25th to the Packers. Chris Braswell, 26th to the Buccaneers. Those are just three names you haven't seen in these mock drafts, which makes you wonder, like, I don't know, keep an eye out for that as we get towards, you get closer to, like, as like the first round's unfolding, because you always see it every year, especially the year where it's like, it's a deep draft class with a lot of talented players. The back end, like, the last 10 picks are going to feature guys that you, it's like, oh, I didn't see him in any mock drafts. It's like, yeah, that's how it works. As Belichick said this week, he said on McAfee, he's like, anything being leaked out right now is not from the teams. Like, the teams leaking out information are doing it to manipulate the board. Anything accurate coming from teams happens within the last, like, 48 to 24, maybe 12 hours of the draft if you're the Patriot, if you're Belichick.
And I'll tell you this. If you want to look at something else that would be newsworthy coming out of this AI draft, the Vikings, obviously, there's no trades in this one, did not trade up, selected Byron Murphy at 11, and then took a wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, at number 23. If they come out of this draft without a quarterback, is Justin Jefferson really going to want to hang around? And did they take a wide receiver in that first round to cover their butts because they know they're going to have to trade their wide receiver? So, you know, that one, don't sleep on the AI.
Spicy. I like it. All right. Anything else from the AI?
It's going to get the last laugh, and all their picks are going to be right.
Cooper DeJean to the Colts at 16 would be pretty big outlier from what you've seen around the industry. I think considered certainly a possible first round pick, but taking him there, I just think would surprise some people, especially when you could just trade the pick for whoever wants JJ McCarthy. Or Bo Nix going ahead of Jaden Daniels is wild. All right, that'll do it for us. Great stuff, Harry. Great idea on the AI mock draft. I love some silliness. Draft season is silly season, and we are getting ready to hit the week off. Again, check out With the First Pick with Ryan Wilson and Rick Spielman. We will be back. I think we're going to recap the draft. I don't know exactly what the... No, we'll find out. We'll let you know. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Breach, for Sully, I'm Brinson. See you guys later.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.